Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 408 all the stanzas. Ye who his temple throng, Jehovah's praise prolong. New anthem sing, ye saints with joy declare your Maker's loving care, and let the children there joy in their King. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 408.
the portion of God's Word that we wish to read this morning. You can find recorded in the book of Psalms and of Psalm 40, but first we will read the Holy Law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 40. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respected not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid my thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified, but I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning the mother of Mrs. Clara Clausen, who is in a very low condition in Chilliwack. Also, candidate Maljars, who has to receive surgery on his foot in this coming week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, as we have heard it in these moments out of thy holy word, innumerable evils have compassed me about. So it was in the life of thy servant, and so it is also in the life of thy people. For it is not long and between the trials and the tribulations, the one coming and leaving and another coming in its place, because we are cleavers to this world. We are those who are envious at the foolish when we see the prosperity of the wicked. And we need to be weaned from all that is here below, so that we could not find our happiness and our consolations therein. O Lord, that thou may remember each and every one of us. And thy servant did see and understand the cause, and mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. And this cause we do not see of ourselves. It needs to be opened unto us by thy Spirit. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou may look upon us this day, another week, another month that is quickly gone by. And so our life that is step by step being consumed away. And we travel as pilgrims through this world, and we go each one of us unto our long home. And by times thy word from Sabbath to Sabbath is coming unto us. What has it profited us from our birth to this moment? And what shall it now profit us from this moment unto our death? Then it is all so dependent, O Lord, upon thee, who art almighty and who art able to raise us from the dead and to give what we cannot give unto ourselves. Thou hast given us natural life that hungers, that thirsts, that breathes, that desires, that longs. O Lord, give us also spiritual life. That we may be raised from our deadness, wherein we serve all that is carnal, earthly, sensual, and devilish. And wilt thou raise us to a new life, wherein our hearts that do go out unto our Maker, our Creator, and could it be also unto our Redeemer, unto our Savior. Oh, we have heard it in these moments out of thy precious word. Thou desirest not sacrifice. O Lord, thou hast said, lo, I come. In a volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will. O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. O that thou may remember us and give us also to behold something of that work that thou hast accomplished in thy active, in thy passive obedience. For it becomes, O Lord, an impossibility in the life of thy children. Thou knowest how stuck that they do run. It is thy own Spirit who leads them to this place, where they must cry out in their great need, but they cannot open their eyes to see, except that thou wouldst do so. Oh, that thou may remember them in this morning hour. Give a little light in the darkness wherein they may lie. Oh, that thou, as the day star, may arise in their hearts, and that they may be given to rejoice in thee for a moment this day, and that thou may revive it also in the life of thy children. O Lord, without thee we can do nothing, and we have nothing. That thou may give us also what is necessary in the bringing of thy word. O Lord, strengthen us for this work, also in this very hour. But give us the unction of thy Spirit in a rich measure. Oh, how cold shall it be, how empty shall it be, if thou wilt not come. Then it shall remain but the words of a man to men. O Lord, we beseech thee, that thou may make it the word of thee. Thou hast promised, I have put my words in thy mouth. O give us then what is necessary to take forth the precious from the vile, and that thou wouldst do as thou hast said. O Lord, that it may be evident in the midst of us amongst young and old. Look upon all that have special needs. The mother of one in our midst, she is so very low. Lord, thou knowest all her circumstances. Oh, that thou may remember her when death draws nigh, that thou mayest hear her cry. And when as a daughter she is not able to go to see her anymore. O Lord, that thou may supply for her also here, for she still may try to lay her before thy throne, and thou art everywhere, that thou may remember in mercy, and that thou may deliver as thou alone art able. Do be with all those that receive treatments for serious diseases, the needs of the mind, the needs of the body. Thou knowest where they are. They are also amongst us, both young and old. Oh, that thou may be near to them. For we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And the outward tribulations, they are but a little part of it. O Lord, that thou may uphold, strengthen, and supply, and wilt thou instruct also in these ways, as thou alone art able to do. The candidate who must receive surgery in this week, O Lord, thou art God. Thou knowest everything. And when thou dost say go, then we must go. And when thou dost say stop, then we must stop. Oh, then thou bringest him also to a halt in a moment. Oh, Lord, that thou may remember him in the many questions that live yet within his heart. And may thou supply for him in this week. Wilt thou bless the means that are used to his recovery? Wilt thou raise him up again that he may continue on with all of the plans, and that thou may endue him with power and thy spirit from on high? Oh, give him a little instruction. That is what we all need. Even to bring thy word continually, and also in this way wherein thou dost lead him. Oh, that he may be able to say that the Lord, is good, and that the Lord, he has taught me. Oh, Lord, that thou may remember all that bring thy word. And the student in this area also in these weeks, who hopes to be in our midst also in this afternoon, be thou on his right and on his left hand, that he may feel something also of thy nearness, presence, and the sweetness of that work. Oh, that thou may look upon all that hear thy word this day. Lord, we are so carnal, we are so dead. Everything must come from thee. Those that listen by church telephone, be on their right and on their left. Those that are also living in the nursing home, oh Lord, that thou may supply. And when we have become old and gray, look upon us then together. Oh, forgive thou and take away our many sins, and appear for us, even in this hour, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 111, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. I waited for the Lord Most High, and he inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. Upon a rock he set my feet and steadfast made my way. And what follows in stanzas 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 111, and we make the following announcements. The classical examination of candidate Maljars has been postponed until August the 23rd, and his ordination until September the 13th. And the last collection today is for the Fort McLeod Building Fund, 111, 1, 2, and 3. congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you as Psalm 40, and thereof the first part of the third verse. Psalm 40, verse 3, the first part, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." So far, the words of our text, a new song put in the mouth of the church by the Lord. First, the substance of this song. We read, "even praise unto our God." Second, the receiving of this song, "and he hath put a new song in my mouth." Thus, a new song put in the mouth of the church by the Lord. First, the substance, and second, the receiving of this song. Our text, that is, congregation, about singing. Do you like to sing? There are so many tears. There is so much weeping in this world after the fall. There are weeping parents. There are weeping children. There are weeping husbands. There are weeping wives. There are old that are weeping. There are young that are weeping. There is loneliness. There is suffering. There is pain. There are many disappointments. Weeping, it is a sea of tears. And then sometimes then we hear, yet, and that is a wonder, that we can still hear sometimes some singing in this world. Maybe a little child, and that is so very refreshing, and that is lightening the load of the heaviest burdens, taking away from the weight that a man carries through this world. It is true that sometimes there are sad songs. Will the Lord cast off forever? Ties of covenant friendship sever? Will he show his face no more, as he did in days of yore? That is, boys and girls, a sad song, isn't it? But when we speak about singing, then in general we are speaking about that which is so very, very glad. And that is also what we can read here in the words of our text. Because then it is a singing, it says, "even praise unto our God." Thus, they are songs of great gladness. You sing, young people? Did you join the congregation this morning? Sang two times already. What kind of songs do you like to sing? Sometimes we are walking from the parsonage, we come to the catechism class, and we hear songs in your automobiles. And then we have to say, young people, poor, poor people. What kind of songs do you like to sing? Does the devil, does he give you your life? Does he give you your health? Does he give you your strength? And does he deserve that you should open your mouth to sing songs to him? Or is it only the Lord who is worthy that you would open your mouth in praise unto him? What is now the work of the glorified church? They sing, we read in God's Word, songs. It is the song of Moses and the Lamb. Great and glorious art thou, O Lord, thou King of the saints, that is to magnify and to glorify him forever and forever. And the work of those that are in the bottomless pit, what is their work? What do we read in the Bible? We read weeping and gnashing of teeth. It will be forever a cursing of God. What will be our work? Young and old, to all eternity. And he hath put, David says, a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. That is now the highest purpose of the Lord. That is his own glory. That was the purpose of all the decrees of God. That was the purpose of his creation. It was the purpose even of the fall. And it was the purpose of his redemption. Who can now rightly appreciate what we are doing when we sing, especially when we sing in the house of the Lord? Who can now rightly appreciate that we are coming in praise to that most, most high God? And therefore, the Lord says also in his word about the manner of our singing, that we sing with a joyful sound, it says. What does that mean? That is not the joy of the world. No, that is the joy. That is, it says, a loud voice, let it come out of your heart. And then the other, that is to sing with a solemn sound. That is because we come before the majesty of God. Then we so appreciate, congregation, the work of our own organists. And when this they try to do, then it is true. And then as a consistory, we say sometimes, will you go just a little slower? Or will you go just a little faster? But what is now our work as a congregation? That is that we may be united, that we may be in union to sing, that it may not be the manner in the first place, but that those things, they may be set aside by consistency, and that we may be able to sing as the Lord he commands in his word. What does Paul say? He says, I will sing with the spirit. And he says, I will sing with the understanding also. What is now that true singing? That singing that is a singing that is coming up out of the heart of God's children. That is now a spiritual matter. May you ever so sing. May you ever so sing, because singing, true singing, where does that begin? That does not begin in heaven. No, that true singing that is beginning here upon the earth. Here is where that the Lord, he is teaching, he is instructing his own people how to sing. And of what to sing. What is it that he instructs them to sing? What do we sing by nature? Well, we sing our own praises, do we not? We sing our own praises. You see that in a little child. Then he sings his own praises. And then we do not see that so much when we become an adult. Why? Because it does not live in our heart? Or because we become a little bit more sly? And that we are a little bit better perhaps at hiding in the fact that we are singing our own praises, and when we are condemning everyone else around us, and for what purpose? Well, that we may be glorified by men. That is the way we are. That is you, that is me. And now what does the Lord teach? But how does the Lord instruct his people? Well, he teaches them to sing a new song. He teaches them to sing a different song. And that is a song that does not include his own praises anymore. No, it says, even praise unto our God. That is now the great lesson of the Spirit of the Lord. Throughout the lifetime of his people, that he is instructing them to sing not their praises anymore, but to sing the praises of his name. What kind of song does the Spirit of the Lord put into the mouth of his people? It is a song of deliverance. That is what we read here. We read it in the verses preceding. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And so he says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. That's what kind of a song was that? Well, you say, that is now a song of thanksgiving. It is a song for deliverance. And when are the people delivered? You say they are delivered when they die. That is true. And when they die, then they will be ushered in. And there that eternal song that shall continue forever and forever. But that eternal song does not begin there. That eternal song, David says in our text, David says that eternal song that is beginning here already upon the earth. Song of deliverance. Song of deliverance that is never a song wherein a man is glorifying himself. That is impossible. That actually involves a contradiction. Why is that? Because the very need for deliverance that is grounded in the helplessness of the people, in his impotency, that he is not able to help himself. Thus, when Israel came up out of the sea, and they saw all their enemies dead upon the seashore, then have they glorified their own strength? Have they sung of their own wisdom? Have they magnified their own power? You say that is impossible. No, it is a song of deliverance, and a song of deliverance is a song that is magnifying, that is glorifying not the delivered, but it is magnifying and glorifying the deliverer. How many deliverances do God's children receive? Do they sing of? You say there is one deliverance. That is right. You say that is the deliverance of Christ. That is right. It is the deliverance from sin. That is right. But though that deliverance that also has many aspects, when there is no experience of that deliverance, then we can consider it to only be one thing. But when a man experiences and is led through that deliverance, then he also will become acquainted with all of the different aspects of that deliverance. And thus, it is a song of degrees. You read that sometimes in the Bible, certain psalms, that they are called songs or psalms of degrees, going higher and higher up that temple mount. And so that is also in that instruction that the Lord is giving unto his people, that they are learning to sing by degrees. But that leads us already to our second thought, the receiving of this song. He hath put a new song in my mouth. Boys and girls, you also learn to sing, do you not? Your mother, your father maybe, your teacher at school, they teach you to sing. Do you do your best? That is a good thing, to learn how to sing, and it is also a very beautiful thing that you may sing also, especially when you are very young. How long does it take you to learn a psalter? Say, the one will say, well, I sing it 5 times and then I know it. Another says it, I have to sing it 20, 25 times and then I know it. Well, we hope that you will sing it until you know it. But do you know what David says here? He says, he hath put a new song in my mouth. He, who is that? Well, that was not his mother. That was not his father. That was not his teacher. No, David says, it was the Lord. He says, the Lord put that song in my mouth. So we have a question for you. Also in this morning, you learn to sing many songs. But can you say already, when you are very young, can you say that is now a song that the Lord put in my mouth? There is a difference, is there not, between being taught by your mother or your father, or to have a song that the Lord put in your mouth? And then it does not say, David does not say, the Lord taught me or instructed me. Indeed he did. But he says that he put this song in my mouth. Thus, he says, then just as if that whole necessity to learn that song and the time it takes to learn that song, that is all put out of the way. Say that it does not take any time, no. But that song that was put in my mouth directly so that I did not need to practice it, to rehearse it, no. I did not need to memorize it, no. It was a song that was put in my mouth. Say, that is not possible. Everyone needs to learn it. Everyone needs to memorize it. Is that so? When you see the children of Israel come up out of that sea, then do you think that they had to practice that song? When they are rejoicing with Miriam in the dances, with timbrels, and they are leaping to the honor and to the glory of the Lord, for what? For that deliverance? Is that a song that they needed to be taught? Is that a song that they needed to practice? No. You say that is a song that came out of something. That is so. That is a song that came directly out of the work of the Lord. That is a song that was coming now directly out of the bottom of their hearts. It is a song that was put in their mouth. It is a song that they could sing immediately upon the deliverance of the Lord. Did you ever read the song of Hannah? 1 Samuel 2, where it says that she prayed. Oh, what a precious, what a beautiful song. Where she says, there is none holy as the Lord. For there is none, she says, beside thee. Those are songs that the Lord is putting in the mouth of his people. And then they cannot but sing. No, and then they have to sing. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. A new song. What is that? A new song. Well, a new song, that is a song that either you have never sung before, or you say that is a song that is renewed, made new. What is now the first song that a person ever learns truly to sing to the honor of the Lord? That is in regeneration. Do you believe that? Because we hear sometimes, young people, when you will gather, let's say, as a choir, then you will say, we are going to sing to God's honor. Is that so? It ought to be so. But who alone is able to truly sing to the honor of the Lord? That is only beginning in the day of that new birth. Do you ever feel that? When we sing so beautifully in the house of the Lord, and it is beautiful. But do we ever feel something that you say, I cannot actually do this? I sing with my mouth, but I am not able to sing to God's honor. Was that ever a grief to you? That you say, I cannot fulfill that purpose for which that the Lord, he has created me upon the earth. But if the Lord converts us, then the Lord will put into our mouth a new song. It is a song that we have never sung before. And it is coming out of a heart that has never before known what it was to sing unto the Lord. You say it begins with weeping. How do you know that? Do you know that by experience, that it begins with weeping? Then you will also know something else by experience. Then you will also know that it begins at the same time with singing. You may ask the people. They are a weeping people, yes. But they are young people, the happiest people. The happiest people in the whole world. Ask them to explain that happiness. Can they explain that to you? Probably better. They can explain their sadness. But do you know what the word of the Lord says? The word of the Lord says that they are joyful in that new birth with that new desire, because they go with the multitude, it says, unto the house of God. How? With the voice of joy and praise. Did you ever wake so on the Sabbath morning, young people? Did you ever wake so on the Sabbath morning with the voice of joy and of praise in your heart? Why? Because you say, I could go unto that house of the Lord with joy and gladness in my soul. I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before Him there. Blessed song. Blessed time. Blessed people. David says, I remember that. Later on, when he looks back and he remembers, because there is another time that had come in his life. He says, my soul that is cast down within me. But he says, I remember. I remember that blessed time, that special time when I did sing as I went unto the house of the Lord. Say to that people, tell me now what makes you to sing. Maybe they say nothing. Maybe they say, I do not know what makes me sing. Then you go away. And then they think to themselves about your question. And then they say in their own heart, I love the Lord. The fount of life and grace. He hears my voice, my cry and supplication. Oh, that is a song in that new life, in the young life of that people. Where does it come from? Comes from deliverance. From deliverance. Say, people speak about that deliverance. Tell me about that deliverance. What can they say? Nothing. Nothing. And yet it comes out of their deliverance. It comes out of a new life from the dead. They cannot speak about a deliverance. They cannot speak about a deliverer. And yet they are receiving something from that deliverer. Gifts. Is that according to the Word of God? Read it. Could Rebecca speak about Isaac? Could she say what he was to her? He had never seen him. But there were gifts. They were coming to her. And by those gifts, Isaac has a purpose. That is to draw her. To draw her from the house of her heritage. Father, mother, loved ones, and this world. And to draw her to say, come. Come unto me. Let us sing. 225, 1 and 3. How dear to me. O Lord of hosts, the place where thou dost dwell, the tabernacles of thy grace in pleasantness excel. And what follows in 1 and 3 of Psalter 225. hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. David, in Psalm 8, he says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou perfected strength. Thus, it is a wonderful thing for the church of God, that is, that experienced bride, to hear something of that young church singing. Joyful children, sons and daughters, shall about thy table meet. Olive plants in strength and beauty, full of hope and promise sweet. That is, not only that family around that natural table, but that young church, full of hope and promise sweet. But then the Lord, he is also giving a progression in that singing. There are steps, there are special moments where the Lord, he is putting a new song in the mouth of his people, that he is giving a renewal, and that he is giving an increase in the understanding, that is, by steps, by degrees. Children, you are very familiar with a very special song that we read in the Bible. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That is a special song. Why is it a special song? You say the angels sang that song. Yes, that makes that so very, very special. They came to the earth to sing that song, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But what was the occasion of that song? Say that was the occasion of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the occasion of the humiliation of the Son of God. Simeon, he also sang a very special song on that occasion. What do you think? Do you think he ever sang before in his life? You say, certainly. Many years, for he was likely an old man. And then he has sung the praises of the Lord in the heart from the Lord. Many times in his life, you say that was a converted man, that was a man of God, that is so. But the Lord gave him in that moment to sing a new song. And what was that new song? That was a song that he had never sung before. And what did he say? What did he sing? He says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Special moment, an unforgettable moment in the life of that man, when in the first time in his life, and then he was privileged to set his eyes upon that blessed mediator, and that he may see him for one moment, and that he may take him up in his arms, and he may magnify the Lord. He did not need to learn that song, that he may know it by heart, but it came up out of his heart. It was planted in his heart. It came out of the deliverance of the Lord, that he may now see, that he may now experience for his own heart. Oh, that is a special moment. A special moment in the life of that true church of God. When they, for the first time in their life, they may set their eyes upon that blessed Son of God in the state of his humiliation. Oh, when they may begin to sing. Oh, we say when it becomes Christmas in the heart of that people. And when they may say for the first time, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, a new song. Why? A new song because it arises out of a new hope, out of a new expectation. Say, have they never seen that expectation? Have they never had that hope before in their life? No. You say, even after regeneration? No. Never. What was their hope? What was their expectation? Well, it was in something so very different than that they are now given to see. What is it? They had a hope. They had an expectation in a broken covenant. But they did not see that that covenant that was so broken. But David here, he says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay. Miry clay. What is miry clay? You know what that is, children? Miry clay. If you ever come in that thick, thick mud, or in places in this world, they have what they call quicksands. And when you will come into such a place, then you will find that you are not able to free yourself from that place. Can be that you have even come, boys and girls, into in this world some very, very thick, thick mud. And then you get your boots stuck in that mud. You say, I can't get them out. And in that miry clay, then a person experiences that every move he makes, he is only sinking himself further and further into that mire. Thus, the movements, they do not help to deliver him. They are movements to try to deliver himself. But they are movements that he has to experience, that they are bringing him only deeper into his trouble. Miry clay. This is now what David says, the Lord he has delivered me from. Thus, this is the experience of David. And not only of David, but of that entire church of God. When they are laboring and laboring to deliver themselves. And it has also to do somewhat with that praise for myself. In that way of duty. But experiencing that I can only make myself more guilty, that I can only make myself more filthy, and that I can only dig my pit deeper for myself. You can understand that when a person, such a person, when he is on the bottom of such a pit, that he feels the hopelessness and the helplessness as long as there is no one around him, that is able to deliver him, then it becomes so hopeless in his life. Did it ever become so hopeless in your life? Because the Lord cuts off all your work? That the Lord cuts you off from a broken covenant? You can understand when such a man at the bottom of that pit in his hopelessness, that he hears or he sees just something of someone who is able to deliver him, who is able to help him, that his heart that leaps for joy. We do not say he is delivered yet. We do not say that he needs to be sitting on the top of that pit in order to begin to sing. No. He begins to sing already on the bottom of that pit. He begins to sing already in what? It is in the hope of that deliverance. When he only may hear something, when he only may see something, oh, the smallest part, when that day star may arise in his heart, when there is the smallest amount of light, oh, then already, then his heart that begins to sing. No, it does not begin with the assurance in the life of a person that he says, I am now delivered from my sin. There are people, and they begin to talk all from the heights, but that is not the experience of God's church. It does not begin with the knowledge of my deliverance. That song that is beginning with the possibility of my deliverance. And when all that hope that has been cut off from my own sight, and when there is only one little hope, you say, is there no assurance in this? Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yes, there is. What is that assurance? Well, that assurance is in seeing something of that deliverer. That assurance is to see his might. That assurance is to see something of his willingness. And that he cannot change, that he can do it, that he has promised to do it. They are there lying yet at the bottom of that pit, and they are singing. They are singing in hope. They are singing in faith, when that faith may be an exercise. And when that eye that may be given to look upon him for one moment, oh, then sometimes even on the bottom of they cannot see that pit anymore. Then they can only see him. They are beautiful moments. They are precious moments. And they are unforgettable moments. Oh, they are moments that the Lord, he is putting a new song in the mouth of the people. Even praise unto our God, even before that they know that they are delivered. Is that not a blessed people, young people, that can sing in the pit? Paul and Silas, they were in the prison, and they were singing before that they were delivered. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. What kind of a song do you think that the disciples sang? It is not recorded in the Bible. But they did sing. They did sing. After that the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead. What kind of a song would you say that they sang? I ask you. Was it a new song or was it an old song? Say it was the same deliverer. Yeah, they had sung before, had they not, children? Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Did the disciples know how to sing? Were they taught to sing by the Lord? Oh, yes. But now that song, this song, that song after the resurrection of Christ. What kind of a song was that? Oh, you see, it was in a sense not completely new, and yet it was so new. You are right. It was a song that went much deeper, did it not? It was a song that went so much higher, did it not? Was it not a song that came out of a new experience? And did not the wonder exceed the height of the heavens in the hearts of the disciples upon the resurrection of the dead? And was not the assurance that they experienced in that day of a different kind? And was that assurance not also of a different measure? Bunyan's Pilgrim. He enters at the wicket gate. He says, I rejoice. Is that all? And tremble. And tremble, he says. Why? Because to see that way is not yet to be delivered. He says, I rejoice. The Lord, he has put a new song in my mouth. And he still trembled. Why? Because he says, can you help me off with that burden on my back? That burden, he was not yet delivered from his sin. And therefore, he was yet trembling. But now go forth. You go home and you read that song that he did sing. When the Lord brought him up to that cross, and where he may now experience that burden that falls down from his shoulders, and it descends into that sepulchre of Christ, and he never saw it again. Oh, blessed, blessed day. That is a day when Christ is not only revealed in the life of his people, but that is the day that the Lord, he is also applied in the life of his people. Do you think that people will then not sing a new song? When the Lord, when they may hear that out of the mouth of the Lord, thy sins be forgiven thee. When the Lord may say unto their soul, I am thy salvation. When they may hear it from the Lord himself, peace be unto thee. And when they may receive something of that sealing of the Holy Spirit. Or is that not now a new song? A new song that may be put into their mouth when they are delivered from an horrible pit that they thought for sure that they would land in. Why? Because of Good Friday? Because then their life that is cut off. And then there is for them no more expectation, but that they are eternally and eternally condemned. Then it is not only the works that are cut off, but it is their very life. And when the Lord, He is delivering from this, then the Lord, He is putting a new song, a blessed song in the life of His people. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Oh, God's children, they do not all sing at the same time. If you listen close, it will be like the building of that second temple. Then you cannot discern the voice of the weeping and the voice of the rejoicing. There are times they cannot sing. The harps, they are laid on the willows. Why? Because sin, backsliding, departure from the commandments of the Lord, and they are separating and they are laying there then in bondage, and the devil, he is mocking. Sing us now one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the songs of the Lord when we are in a strange land? But the Lord, He does not forsake His people. When the Lord, He turns the captivity of the people, then they are like them that dream. Then their mouth that is filled with laughter and their tongue with singing. Why? The Lord, He has done great things for us, whereof that we are glad. Oh, they do not need to learn that song. That is a new song that the Lord, He is putting in the mouth of His people. O congregation, a new song that is here below, that is born in their heart, that is renewed in their heart, until that time that all sin will be done away, and the Lord, He will wipe away all tears from the eyes of the people. Oh, what does John say? Oh, they sung, as it were, he says, as it were a new song. No, it was not completely a new song. But as it were, it is a song that had begun already here upon the earth. But he says no man could learn that song but the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. And why can no man learn such a song? Because it is a song that is singing the praises of God. And we cannot sing those praises except the Lord, He is placing that song into our mouth. Oh, congregation, do you understand it? When we have never learned to sing this song, oh, then we shall never sing it to all eternity. But if we have one time, even one time in our life, experienced what it was for the Lord to put this song in our mouth, oh, then they all shall sing with joyful lays and laud His praise forever and forever. Oh, will also we and our children be among them. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may acknowledge Thee for Thy great goodness, for Thy long suffering, and for all Thy help given unto us in this morning hour, that we may bring this little portion of Thy word. Thou hast strengthened us in our body, and Thou hast supplied what was necessary. Oh, we beseech Thee, bring it home in the hearts of each and every one. We sing, oh, we sing Sabbath after Sabbath, and we sing also in our homes. But Lord, we need to have that song put in our mouth. Oh, give that cry in the heart of each and every one of us. Oh, that we may feel how incapable, how sinful, how miserable, how wretched that we are. And that we may see and that we may desire that everything do come from Thee. Oh, we beseech Thee, Lord, for it. We are undeserving of the least of Thy notice or attention. But glorify Thyself, Lord, in the hearts of each and every one of us. Bring us safely to our places. Do help the student in this afternoon. Oh, Thou knowest all his needs. Give him a little freedom, Lord. For Thou knowest he comes to a place where there are so many familiar faces, and that it can be such a hindrance unto us. But oh, we beseech thee that thou wouldst take it all away. Give us all together a cry in our heart for him, and that thou wouldst so bless us also in this afternoon hour. Forgive and take away our many, many sins. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 420, the second stanza. But let the righteous, blessed of yore, joy in their God as ne'er before. Faith's victory achieving, their joy shall then unbounded be. Who see God's face eternally, their heart's desire receiving. The second stanza of Psalter 420. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.